But right now, let's talk a little bit about a report that was just released, Evaluation and Analysis of Atlantic Canadian Liquor Monopolies. And part of this had to do with the Free the Beer movement, had to do with a New Brunswick man who, as we reported and we've talked about on this program, went to Quebec, bought some cheaper beer, brought it back, was actually being monitored the entire time, ended up being taken to court to pay a fine. This is about protecting jurisdictions, protecting tax monies. But this story is about why we should free the industry. On the line with us is the author of this report from AIMS, the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies, and Alex Whalen, it tells me here, ops manager at Atlantic Institute, a graduate of the Schulich School of Law at Dal. And we got him on the program this afternoon. How are you, Alex? How are things going?
I'm good, Sheldon, and it's good to be with you again. Things are well at AIMS.
All right. Yeah, the lights aren't as hot as they are in the CTV studio. I saw your conversation last night, and much of this, as you said then, and as I suspect you'll say now, has to do with Mr. Comeau, the guy from New Brunswick that came to prominence across this country and is now perhaps at the subject of a Supreme Court of Canada challenge.
That's right. I think it's important to highlight the case of Gerard Comeau, and his story was a motivation of writing this paper. He's a retired electrical worker in New Brunswick who crossed the border over to Quebec to buy some beer, something many people do every day. And the beer in Quebec, of course, is cheaper. He came back across the border and was charged with a $300 fine. That set off a wave of free the beer, although beer is not the only product that's restricted by interprovincial trade barriers. It is the one we're talking about today. And we argue that these restrictions should be removed. But in our paper, we talk about provincial liquor monopolies, and they really are the source of these restrictive laws because the province of New Brunswick is trying to protect their highly lucrative liquor monopoly.
With that, you know, in mind, we have liquor laws that were brought in after Prohibition was ending, and the provinces, I assume, the political people of the day said, hey, here's an opportunity. If we tax this, we can generate some revenue. And I don't know if there was ever a concentrated effort to make those taxes equal among the provinces. As we know, it's not the case today. So, you know, in many ways, you're asking to unravel 70, 80, 90, 100 years of policy. Is it easy to do?
It's not easy to do, but we do think this is an issue that everyday people care about. And it's important to discuss the historical origins. The liquor systems that we have in Atlantic Canada today were set up in the time of Prohibition, when government needed to tightly control alcohol, and that was a serious pressing social concern. What we are saying is that times have changed. We live in a modern economy today where goods and services need to be able to flow freely, and we think that alcohol should be one of them. Simply put, we think that there's no longer any ongoing purpose for government to be involved in the retail aspect of alcohol.
Okay, but those people who say, you know, it's about responsible consumption, it's about making sure that people under a certain age are not getting access to liquor, that, you know, we need to have these rules in place, we need to have the money, we need the cash, we need this revenue for our tax coffers, because, you know, healthcare is expensive and roads are expensive to maintain. So what's wrong with maintaining the status quo?
Well, on the first point about rules, we fully believe there is a role for government in being a regulator, in maintaining health and safety, in assisting with addictions. Government has a perfectly legitimate role in that sphere, and we actually think that they could do a much better job of that if they weren't also trying to profit. In terms of the lost money, I think that's an interesting point. If you look at the Nova Scotia Liquor Commission, last year they made $238 million on the backs of higher prices for consumers. A couple of points about that. One, alcohol is taxed several times, and that profit of the NSLC is only one element of it. If we are concerned with the cost of healthcare and such, that's why we have sin taxes. We don't need to take a product that is already taxed a couple of times and then add insult to injury by also maintaining the excessive markups that the provincial liquor monopolies add to these things.
You're talking billions. Our guest is Alex Whalen from AIMS, responsible for this report. It's Evaluation and Analysis of Atlantic Canadian Liquor Monopolies. Are you suggesting that if we were to unravel and privatize, that we'd still see the same level of taxation, we'd still see the same return?
There would certainly be an impact, although we think in the paper we discussed the experience of other jurisdictions. And if you look at Alberta as an interesting example, in the 1990s, Alberta sold off the retail element of its liquor monopoly. And the results there were very interesting. They ended up with more stores, more jobs, which I think is a critical point, a wider variety of products, and the provincial government actually maintained most of its revenue. So we think it's a bit of a win-win. And there are billions of dollars involved. We just don't think it's fair to the everyday consumer in Atlantic Canada who has to pay above market prices for alcohol.
But I've been in Alberta and I've been in BC and I go to the liquor store there. They aren't the same. They're private. It's very much like an American experience. And, you know, for at least where I was, I didn't see the selection was all that great. I saw maybe they were allowed to put a few items on sale, which is not really allowed here in Nova Scotia. But, you know, I didn't see any real benefit to me as a consumer, and again, just as someone who was traveling and dropped in. So what do we? What's BC do that is different than what we do here?
We don't so much advocate the BC model. It's more Alberta that we discuss in the paper, and there is an element of the study that deals with product variety, and Alberta's variety of products and also number of stores did increase. We're not saying the Alberta example is perfect, but we do think that the tight controls that exist in the Atlantic provinces are not serving consumers, that there has to be a better way, and that we offer some ideas in the paper to improve that.
All right. We'll direct people to the AIMS website if they want to read the entire, 29-page document. I've got the executive summary in front of me and a few other points from this. And again, you point to how, you know, we hope, and it says here, we hope our analysis and recommendations will provoke and inform meaningful discussion in Atlantic Canada, where consumers pay above market prices every day for alcohol from Crown Corporation providers who control most aspects of distribution and sale. Alex, some though might say, oh, I go to the website for AIMS and there's this conversation about minimum wage. Is this about breaking up the monopolies that are controlled by unionized employees?
Well, some of the other work that AIMS has produced has highlighted that the Atlantic Canadian provinces do have excessive public sectors, excessive numbers of public servants, and that puts a burden on the province's finances. What we say in the paper is that this is an opportunity for government to get out of a business that they don't need to be in. There may be a bit of an impact on wages, but as we said, in Alberta, their result was more stores and more jobs. The government is not really an engine of job growth, and we think that this or is not an engine of economic growth. And when governments try to create jobs in areas that they shouldn't be in, that creates problems. And we think that this is one of those areas.
Well, and you keep saying Alberta, and my example of BC. So what is BC doing differently than Alberta? Do you know?
I am not intimately familiar with the BC example. Okay. Across the country, alcohol is still fairly tightly controlled, but we think that it's time for a change. When you look at the grassroots movement that has come behind the Gerard Comeau case, I think that everyday people feel this. And across Canada, there is still prevalence of monopolies, but we think that there's a better way to do this.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, given that even with the conversation about legalization of cannabis, we heard federal government say, you know what, we will let the provinces set up jurisdiction. The province is saying, well, we need to have consistency so that people aren't cross-border shopping interprovincially for cannabis. So, you know, the government has said, well, we'll, you know, if any province doesn't have a plan, we'll sell it through the mail. I don't think they're talking about distributing liquor through the mail at any time. So it does add to the overall conversation for sure.
For sure, yeah. There are extensions. We think our analysis applies not only to cannabis, but to gambling. In a modern economy, government certainly has a role to protect health and safety, but we seriously question whether government should be in the cannabis business, at least in the retail side. Business owners are perfectly capable of opening stores and retailing within the health and safety bounds that are set by government. And we think that within this interprovincial trade movement, it's time to remove these restrictions. They're archaic, and we need to take a step forward.
All right. Alex, thanks for the input, and we'll get you back on the show real soon. Thanks for your input, and thanks for giving your perspective today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Sheldon, and I would just direct anybody who's interested in the topic to go to our website at ames.ca. The paper's co-authored with Ian Madsen, and there's all kinds of data and discussion points about Atlantic Canadian liquor monopolies.
There we go. All right, sir. Enjoy your day. And
thanks, you too.